As the book states, this could be a lifelong lesson on love. And there are various facets of love, and we're going to be sort of picking and choosing different aspects of love to look at tonight. By way of review, I'm going to read from our book on page 22 about our journey through this book and our attention to the scriptures and how we can measure our journey with the Lord a little bit by how we're measuring up, in a sense, how we're doing in these different graces God has put before us. And our author says on page 22, the supernatural experience of the Christian is seen in his attitude toward God. Having within him the life of God, having been a partaker of the divine nature, he necessarily loves God, loves the things of God, and loves what God loves. Since we're talking about love, I thought that was a good place to start here. And he hates what God hates. This supernatural experience, the natural man does not have this experience, this supernatural experience is wrought in him by the Spirit of God, and that by means of the Word of God. The Spirit never works apart from the Word. By the Word he quickens. By that Word he produces conviction of sin. By that Word he sanctifies. By that Word he gives assurance. And by that Word he makes the saint to grow. So his Word is what we need to be taking in to be growing in our love for one another, in our love for God, and in our love for Christ. And also, by way of review, I always like to go to Peter. And he says, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. And Pastor Gill has been saying the same thing as well, that, you know, all the scriptures, God repeats himself several times on various issues. And so as we go through the scripture, every time we're exposed to it, God is impressing upon us something else that he wants us to learn, something else he wants us to take in and make a part of our life. So as we read the scriptures tonight, let the Spirit work in your heart to say what he wants to say to you about all these things. So we have looked at many different things of how we might measure our progress with the Lord, our journey, our growth in the Lord through what the scriptures have to say about sin, about God, about Christ, about prayer, about good works, obedience, the world, and joy. And in a couple weeks, we'll talk about the promises of God, which was one of my favorite chapters in here. So I'm looking forward to the promises of God as we end the book in a couple weeks. So tonight we want to start with the importance of Christian love. And we know the importance of Christian love because John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever might believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He so loved the world that he would rescue us from sin. And let's turn to Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. Somebody have that? Chris?
Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets.
So all of the instruction on how to live, how to be godly, depends on loving God and loving one another. And so love is one of those overarching principles that governs how you deal with sin, how you deal with good works, how you deal with joy. You can't have joy apart from the love of God. You can't have joy apart from salvation, and that was provided because of God's love for us. He is a righteous God, and he didn't have to forgive any of us, but he chose to forgive us because of his love for us. John 13:34 and 35. Marilyn, do you have that?
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
So this looks a little more specifically at loving the brethren. Christ reiterates that commandment that love is the first foremost commandment. The greatest commandment in the law is to love one another. And Jesus reiterates it and says, as I have loved you, you should also love one another. And we know how Christ loved us all the way to the cross. He gave everything he had. So as we love one another, we want to look at serving one another and praying for one another and being able to share with of what we have with one another. And that verse also point, those two verses also point out that this is a testimony to the world. When I was going through some deep struggles, somebody at work said, well, it was when my parents got divorced, and several people at work said, I can tell that the people at your church really love you because they have really come up and supported you during this struggle. So love for one another is evidence to the world, to the unsaved world, that God is working through us, that we have a bond that is different than the world has. I was startled when they came up and told me that, but they saw that love being manifest, God's love being manifest through the believers at church, even in that time. And let's read 1 Corinthians 13, just do the whole chapter, because we're looking at the importance of Christian love. Sally, do you want to read that?
If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love.
So as we look at the scripture and the great importance of Christian love, we look at just the first few verses of chapter 13 and we realize that great oratory isn't the important thing. Giving of everything you have isn't the important thing. Being able to have faith to remove mountains. All of it is nothing without love. We need the important aspect of Christian love in everything we do to make it pleasing to God, to make it worthy of Him and worthy of how he wants us to live. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all that you do be done in love. So love is the author is making the point that Christian love is very important. And the Bible has several words for love, agape and phileo, the brotherly love, the self-sacrificing love. And our author didn't really pick and choose between love in that way. And so we're kind of looking at more a broad scope love. We're looking at the agape love. And without God's love in us, we can't exercise any manner of love. We cannot love one another without his love in us. If we look at number two, we profit from the word when we learn to detect the sad perversions of Christian love. 1 Corinthians 2:14, does somebody have that?
But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
So the Christian love, a person without the Holy Spirit, an unbeliever, can't exercise Christian love. And sometimes a believer will think that what they see in the world is Christian love, and that is not Christian love. Christian love is based on the truth of the Word of God and what He imparts to us. It is not love to let your child run out in the street. It is not love to let your child put their hand on a hot burner. You want to discipline your children. God disciplines us, the Bible says, because He loves us, because He is our Heavenly Father. So love is not just getting along, regardless of the cost, regardless of our agreement with the truth. Christian love is based in the Word of God and dependent on its truth in exercising it. 1 Peter 1:22, does somebody have that? Mabel?
Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart.
So we need to realize that not everything that's talked about as love is love. We need to go to the truth and have our souls purified through the truth that we might be able to love one another from the heart, that we might truly be able to put aside our interests and look more highly at the interests of others. The sad perversions that he talked about where my uncle was a missionary in Austria, and he was on a bus in downtown Vienna one day, and the Austrian people at that time were going through a change in how you discipline children, and you don't. You hands off. You let them experience things. So they were sitting across from one another, and the child kept kicking my uncle. And he finally talked to the parent and said, "I think you need to stop your child from kicking me." The parent said, "Oh no, I am practicing love. I am practicing letting my child
do whatever
they want, you know, be." And that is sort of where the world tends to go. So later on, my uncle had an opportunity, and as he was leaving, sort of had a nudge as he went by, and she looked at him and he said, "Oh, I'm just practicing to do whatever I feel is right." She kind of went, "Oh, I guess it isn't so good when somebody else is invading my space. I don't like that when they're invading my space." Mm-hmm. They start sort of realizing that maybe this isn't the way to discipline my children. So letting the children do whatever they want is not love. And when you see something that doesn't look right, you go to the Word and see how it is we should be exercising the love of God. So the third thing our author said was, we profit from the Lord when we are taught the nature of Christian love. And we talked about that to begin with. The nature of Christian love is supernatural. It is from above. It is not something that the world gets on its own. Does somebody have 1 John? Rita?
1 John 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him.
So once we have become a child of God, we have His love. And those who have become children of God, we will want to love. We'll get into that a little bit more as the scriptures that we're going to look at. But we want to realize that the nature of this Christian love is family love, is from our Father, is passed on by the fact that we are born again, a supernatural love. And we read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 says, "But now faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." So of these three great virtues, faith, hope, and love is the greatest. The nature of love is the greatest of the virtues. And we started out looking at the fact that it's the greatest commandment in the law, love. So the nature of Christian love is worn out by Christ's death on the cross. And ladies, I look at you and think, I am inadequate to even talk about this. You exercise your love toward one another in ways that is evident. So I appreciate your testimony, even to me, in how you exercise your love. So I am only doing this by way of reminder of the scriptures, because I see it in your lives. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Judy?
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith in this grace of which we stand, and we exalt and hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance giving character, and giving grace and hope. And hope is not support, but because the love of God has been poured out.
So there we see that progression again, faith, hope, and love. The Romans 5:1 starts out, having been justified by faith, we have peace through God. And it goes on to say we exult in hope that we will become conformed to the image of Christ through the things that God brings into our lives. In these verses it says through our tribulations, we get perseverance. Through perseverance, proven character. Through proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the nature of Christian love is that God pours it into our hearts. And supernatural. We can't get it ourselves. And John 13:1, does somebody have that?
Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end.
He's going to the cross. He's going to get nailed on that wood. But he remembers us. He loved them to the end. The nature of Christian love does not give up. It loves us. When we're elect, it loves us through the ups and through the downs. God loves us in all our situations. Now, maybe we're not always as obedient or pleasing to him, but his love never changes. I'm going to read a little bit from our book on page 119. Because the nature of Christian love is also based on the Word of God, and our author says, we know that his love was not only benevolent and magnanimous. Boy, those are big words. Benevolent. He gives. 119? About the middle paragraph. So, his love was not only benevolent and magnanimous, just overabundant, lavishly showering down upon us. He was thoughtful and gentle, unselfish and self-sacrificing, patient and unchanging, but that many other elements entered into it as well. So his love is beyond description. But Christ's love could deny an urgent request. In John 11:6, he was requested to come urgently. He didn't come, but he knew it was the best for the situation. He rebuked his mother when she came to see him. How could rebuke be part of love? And yet we know that Christ was a loving Savior. He used a whip when it was appropriate. Love isn't always simply meek and mild. He severely upbraided his doubting disciples when they were doubting, weren't being obedient and believing him. In love, he upbraided them. And he denounced the hypocrites. And he did it in very, very stern terms, with no questions, calling them all sorts of names. But in love, he was sticking to the truth of the Word of God. He was sticking to what God wanted him to say. So love can be stern and even angry. Spiritual love is a holy thing. It is faithful to God. It is uncompromising toward all that is evil. So we need to prayerfully consider when we need to, in love, exhort one another. That can be the most difficult thing to do in love. So the nature of Christian love is supernatural, and it's based in the truth. And then number four, we profit from the word when we discover that Christian love is a divine communication. Does somebody have 1 John 3:14? Sally?
We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death.
So, amazing as it seems, when you become a Christian, it will be obvious that you're a Christian because you love the brethren. One of the ways you can tell if you're a Christian is you love the brethren. And your love for the brethren will deepen and be stretched as you grow. And you will learn more and more about how to love the brethren as you develop your relationship with Christ. But that can only be done as God pours his love into our heart. So we have to be obedient to reading the scriptures and to seeing the love of Christ and how he loved his disciples and loved the world in all that he did. One of the ways you can develop the love of Christ is by studying the word and studying how Christ lived. I thought briefly about reading the book of John and the book of 1 John tonight as a group because the word love is in there a lot. But that's what you could do to learn more about the love of God, is to read the book of John and to read a book of 1 John. And we are going to get to some of those verses here in a little bit. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us. Without him loving us first, we would have been lost in our sins." The divine communication of love is the word of God. He tells us how much he loves us and how he has exercised his love in sending his son for us. And that everything he's done, he did because he loved us. And I'm going to look at the in our book again at page 120. Love for the brethren is far, far more than finding agreeable the society of those whose temperaments are similar to or whose views accord with my own. It's not just getting along with people because you think the same things. It pertains not to mere nature, but is a spiritual and supernatural thing. It is the heart being drawn to those in whom I perceive something of Christ. Thus, real Christian love is not only a divine gift, but is also altogether dependent upon God for its invigoration and exercise. We need to pray daily that the Holy Spirit will call forth into action and manifestation toward both God and his people that love which he has shed abroad in our hearts. So we need to exercise our love toward one another by being in prayer daily, by asking God to give us love for those that we might find unlovable, by giving us wisdom to apply our love, to exercise our love for one another in ways that he wants us to reach out. I had one of those today where the end of last week, a family member died, and we're having the funeral tomorrow. And so I'm leaving town soon for a funeral. And tonight was my night to bring treats. But God worked in the heart of one of my loving sisters, that's not quite the right word, to bring treats in my stead tonight. So as you're praying about how God can work in your hearts, God might just reveal it to you that you need to do something for one of your fellow believers. Thank you, Sally. So, Christian love is a divine communication. He communicates in and through us through prayer, through his word. So we need to be diligent to be in prayer and in his word so that he can be communicating in and through us to one another. Number five, we profit from the word when we rightly exercise Christian love. In some ways, I felt like my lesson just kind of kept repeating itself. I keep saying the same thing over and over again. But we know that repetition is good because God repeats himself in the Word.
You might learn it then.
That's right. Hammer it into that hard hint.
Yeah.
So does somebody have John 14? Chris, 15 to 24.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. But it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me.
So to rightly exercise Christian love, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then we read that he sends the Spirit to give us that enabling power to rightly exercise Christian love. And then we go down to verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. And verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. So if you love the Father, and your abode is with him, and I love the Father, and my abode is with him, then we're abiding together in the love of God. And we should be able to share that love with one another. And that can be difficult when we have different ways of exercising our gifts, that God gives us each one a different way. And so sometimes there can be that rubbing where we were refining one another to bring us back to the Word and say, God, I don't know how to do that in this situation. But he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Well, that means we need to know his word. The scriptures, profiting from the word, the scriptures and love. So we need to go back to the word and see what God wants us to do. And then we need to be abiding with one another in his love. And then we find more about his love and abiding in his love in John 15, 10 to 14. Wanda, do you have that?
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain with you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command you.
Down to 17?
Oh,
sorry. Sorry. A few more. Down to 17? Yeah.
Okay. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain,
that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
So to rightly exercise Christian love, we need to be obedient to his word, and his word says, I command you to love one another. And if he has to command us to love one another and to tell us that we need to lay down our life for one another and that we need to abide in him, then it will probably take a supernatural event in our life and a recurring dependence upon his strength. Not something we can do just on our own strength, but something we need to take before the Lord and remind ourselves that just being pleasant to someone because they're in your path may not be the same as exercising Christian love toward that person. We may need to take another step. God has put somebody in my life recently that has been a challenge for me to exercise Christian love. And I do find myself going back to the Word and depending on the Spirit and praying before I talk to that person. And this person is just enthusiastic about God and sharing God with everyone. And that is such an endearing quality, and that just draws me to this person. But it's someone I haven't known very long. And every once in a while I think, that's an interesting way to behave. And Lord, I need help with this son, making sure I'm loving this person the way you want this person to be loved. I could simply be pleasant to them and not really engage. Wanda.
Okay, this brings to mind, I believe what Jesus is talking about here, he's talking about the relationship between believers, from one believer to another believer, not the relationship of a believer to a non-believer, to the world.
Yeah, this person I'm talking about is a believer.
Okay, but I mean, this, because a lot of times people, you know, I heard one pastor in particular, he said, you know, God never asked us to be doormats and to just literally, you know, take abuse constantly. That's not what he's asking us to do.
Right.
And a lot of his commandment is given between believers. As believers, you need to be brothers and sisters. This is the love that I want you to have.
Exactly.
I chose you, my disciples, and I love you, and I respect you. So it's an intimate relationship there.
But sometimes in our world, we come across people that we're just getting to know.
Right, right. But I think the next passages down relate to that, believers with to the world.
Right,
yeah.
Well, this dear believer, I'm just getting to know her, and I'm realizing that God may want to use me in this person's life in a little more deep way, and I have to be open to that. And sometimes you get set in your ways and you think you're doing this and this and this. And no, God calls you to be stretched and to step out of your comfort zone for another believer who you can tell is deeply engaged in serving the Lord. And you want to be used in that person's life and let God use his Spirit to minister to that person. And maybe it'll be in giving them a ride or providing a meal. But it might be something even more. And to stop and say, yes, Lord, I am willing to be used in however you want me to be used in the lives of those that you've brought into my life. Because we're of the same family. And we want to be involved in those lives. And sometimes we just get in a rut. It's hard to get ourselves out of that rut and reach out. So we want to be exercising Christian love rightly, according to what he shares with us in the Word of God. 1 John 5:2. Mabel, do you have that?
By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments.
So there it says it in the reverse. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. But his commandment was to love one another. So we know that we love the children of God when we are being obedient to what he tells us to do in the Word of God. And 3 John 1, 3 John 1 says, to the elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Not just, I love them because they're a good buddy to chat with. No, you love them in the truth. You love them the way God says we should love, based on his word and his provision for us. Number 6, we profit from the word when we are taught the varied manifestations of Christian love. And this reminded me of one of the descriptions Pastor Gill has given about varied manifestations, a multifaceted surface, like a diamond which has many different cuts or angles. But love and its manifestations can be done in a multitude of ways. And we're just going to look at 3 of them in the scripture, but God can call you to serve him and exercise your love in others' lives in more ways than we could even try to talk about tonight. So let's look at Galatians 5:13. Marilyn, you have that?
For you were called to freedom, brethren, only to do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another.
So we want to be able to be involved in serving one another. There are times when we have an opportunity through service to get a gain. And we have to be very careful to bring that before the Lord. Because if he gives you an opportunity to make money off of a situation or exercise your love and it comes back to you twice as much as you gave out, go to the Lord and say, thank you for your provision for me. Is there something you want me to do with this abundance that you've given me? Is there a way I can take this opportunity and share it with others and serve each other in love? Ephesians 1, Rita?
Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 19. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Can you go on?
You're good.
Which?
Or do you want to finish the thought?
Sure.
The sentence.
That would help me.
Okay.
Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come.
I just stopped it there because it's a really long sentence. That's right. And we have the opportunity to pray for one another, and that's a little earlier in the passage in verses 15 and 16, he says, for this reason too, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you and your love for all the saints. So he recognizes the love that they have for one another. He's heard of their faith in the Lord and their love. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he goes on to say how he prays for them. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And then it's the surpassing love of God is just amazing. But we can pray for one another that our eyes would be enlightened, that we would understand more and more of who Christ is and what he wants to do in our lives. So that's one of the ways we can pray for one another. If you don't know what's happening in somebody's life at that particular moment, but you feel called to pray for them, you can use scripture and pray for one another. And so being involved in one another's lives, having various manifestations of Christian love, we can serve one another and we can pray for one another. That's two of the ones that are very important to be doing for one another, is serving and praying. And then the next one, in Hebrews 7:25, it says, therefore, Jesus is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Christ himself is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. So we have the opportunity to make intercession for one another. And then if we look at 1 John 3, that's the last manifestation we're going to look at tonight. But like I said, manifestations of Christian love are as varied and abundant as there are people. And God is an amazingly creative God, and he can put it in your heart to be ministering to another believer in many, many ways. Just sharing an answered prayer can minister to another believer sometimes, realizing the power of God and how he's working in another's life. But anyway, 1 John 3, does somebody have that? Sally?
1 John 3:17-18. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth.
So when you see another believer in need and you close your heart against him, the love of God is not being exercised appropriately in your life. So he exhorts us to love not just with word or tongue, but in deed and truth. Our words can be powerful in one another's lives. Making an encouraging or exhorting comment to another believer can just lift them up at a time where they really need something. So a word is very important, but he's making the point here that we also want to love in deed and in truth. We want to be able to do things for one another, and we need to do it according to the Word of God. It needs to be with patience and love and recognizing that the interests of others are more important than our own. I had a hard time knowing where to start and stop with this lesson because the love of God is such a huge topic. But we want to learn to love with the various manifestations of Christian love, serving one another, praying for one another, and helping one another in times of need. And finally, we want to profit from the Word when we are taught the proper cultivation of Christian love. How do we develop Christian love more deeply? How do we find ways of exercising Christian love? The Bible is full of ways that we can learn to walk the way Christ wants us to walk and to minister in love. So we're going to look at a few of those. First of all, 1 Thessalonians 4. Do you have that? Okay, Michelle.
Finally, then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the name of Jesus, that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk when you please God, just as you actually do walk, that you yourselves go more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this, do not reject a man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to pray to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge the brethren to excel still more.
So wherever we are, we can learn to excel more in our love for one another. And our love for one another is borne out in many of the things that we do and say in our activities. And some of that passage talks about some very serious things. But it is very loving of us to act respectfully in the matter of other people's spouses or other people's relationships. It is an exercise of love for you to treat those around you respectfully and with compassion, and to be praying for them and their families and situations. The world goes a totally different direction, and they want everything they want when they want it. They want to exercise their freedom and ability to go out, and the society we live in is getting more and more desperately wicked. And so that can sometimes cause us to think wrong thoughts and to behave in an impure manner. But we need to make sure that when we are exercising our Christian love, that we're doing it in the way God has called us to, that we're obedient, being obedient to the whole word of God, because we love God by keeping his commandments, and the whole word of God is what he has commanded for us. So we need to love the brethren, and you do that by obeying the word of God. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Rita, do you have that?
Mm-hmm. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
And that was just the beginning of that. I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. He was a prisoner of the Lord, and he was imploring those that are out there exercising their Christian love in the world to do it with humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance or forbearance for one another. Sometimes things will come up in your life and this is difficult to deal with. They're handling this in a way I would not have, and yet we need to love them even though they're handling it in a way different. Sometimes we need to step in and be an encourager or an exhorter, but sometimes they just have a different way of getting the same thing done, and we need to allow them to exercise their gifts the way God is calling them to exercise their gifts and love them for it if they are being obedient in how they're doing it. And Romans 12, Chris?
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind together toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
So how do we cultivate Christian love? In this passage, if you look at Romans 12, starting at verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Be genuine in when you're expressing love. And then if you look at the verbs here, they are active, passionate verbs. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So we want to be cultivating our love for one another, our love for God, our obedience to his commandments, which are an evidence of our love, diligently, fervently, devotedly, giving preference to one another in honor. These are all ways that we can be cultivating our love for one another and cultivating our love for God. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When God gives you opportunity to confront something that's evil in it, whether it's from a brethren or out in the world, turn it over to the Lord and go to him for the strength. And through prayer, he will give you the answers you need for that situation. So as we come back to think about our topic of love, I wanted to go back to 1 Corinthians 13, because it also talks about how you cultivate love, how you perceive the importance of love, detect sad perversions of love. It teaches us the nature of love. It reminds us that love is a divine communication. It gives us opportunity to rightly exercise love, and it talks about the varied manifestations of Christian love. So I wanted to read 1 Corinthians 13 as we close. Well, actually, I don't want to, but does somebody want to read 1 Corinthians 13? You want to? Okay.
If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. And if there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now, faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love.
And as we look at how we measure our journey with the Lord through the scriptures and love, I want to end with the beginning of our chapter. In earlier chapters, we have sought to point out some of the ways by which we may ascertain whether or not our reading and searching of the scriptures are really being blessed to our souls. Is the scripture being blessed to your soul? Many are deceived on this matter. They mistake an eagerness to acquire knowledge for a spiritual love of the truth. They assume that they are just making an addition to their store of learning, and that this is the same thing as growth in grace. So sometimes there's a Bible study and all they're doing is reading more about the Bible and learning where things are, and the Lord is not really using it in the life of the person to grow them in grace. Because the person is doing it, well, I'll keep reading. A great deal depends upon the end or aim we have before us when turning to God's word. So if the person doesn't have getting to know God as their aim, then studying it is not going to be profitable in that way. If it is simply to familiarize ourselves with its contents and become better versed in its details, it is likely that the garden of our souls will remain barren. If you're doing it just so you can say you know what's in the Bible, it won't change your life. But if with the prayerful desire to be rebuked and corrected by the Word, to be searched by the Spirit, to conform our hearts to its holy requirements, then we may expect a divine blessing. And I think that's the key, is to, when you're reading the Word, studying the Scriptures, doing it prayerfully and asking God to use it to change your heart and life. And then you will be conformed to the character of Christ, and your love for the brethren will be more evident. Comment?
I appreciate the emphasis on the love part, because that very last verse in 1 Corinthians, I've heard this and you probably all have too, you know, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And one person said it's because in heaven, we don't need faith and we don't need hope, but we do carry the love that we have developed for one another, and we'll be perfect in heaven. So it's hard to figure out. If I'm sinless, I'm going to love you perfectly. But that's something we continue to do in heaven. We don't need any more faith. We don't need any more hope. We have it. We will continue to show the love it's vitally important. The emphasis of, we always jump to verse 4 in 1 Corinthians, but I love the 1 through 3 because it reminds us, if, I don't care how much you're being used by the Lord, if you don't do what you're doing for the Lord with love, and I really like 16:14 that you put down, that everything you do, be done in love. Okay, what does that look like? I've got to figure out that everything that I do, am I doing this in love? And that's where praying and being in the Word, am I doing this in love? Or am I just doing this because as older women, we get in our ruts and we figure this has worked for me. Maybe he wants to get us out of that rut and be effective in another area. So I want to do everything in love. I appreciate the reminder of that.
I did too. Thank you.
I have one thought.
Yep.
As you were talking about someone new that can be difficult to love, I was reminded, you know, there's a foundation of our love that is similar. It's Christ-like. But how that's applied to different people's lives can be very different, and I think that's what sometimes can be the challenge. Because we think, well, this is how I love people. I do this and this and this, and I will do this and this, but this is too difficult or something. And it reminded me a lot of, I've been thinking about Paul's prayer in Philippians 1, because he said that he prayed for them. Remember, they're the church that had the unity issues and so forth. But he said that I pray, and he prayed for their love, that your love would abound more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. And I always appreciate that prayer because it reminds me I have to be wise and discerning in how I love different people in different ways and applying the truth of God's word to their particular circumstance, and what can be a way to love one person may not be the best way to love someone else. You know, because we don't want to be condoning something that is a wrong thing by showing our love, because we're enabling them. Maybe we're enabling them to keep a bad habit or something. Anyway, I always appreciate that prayer, the reminder that it has to be real and it has to be discerning. It can't be without emotion, but it can't be all emotion.
Praying about what God wants you to do in the situation.
Yep. Very much so. And
people that stretch us are good, but it takes wisdom as well. Indeed.
Amen.
I think the word discerning, because we have to know the people. And again, what is helpful to me may not be helpful to you, and or encouraging or that. So you need to be in the Word, and you need to, and then I think you become more tuned to what people are saying and asking and all that. And so then you can meet them.
Well, I like that discernment, that more you get to know someone, the more you can start discerning, asking the Lord for wisdom on what it is that would really be loving for them, showing Christian love.
And sometimes the loving thing is the difficult thing.
Yep.
I mean, it's the exhorting, calling them on the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just saying, you know, you say this, but you do this, or... Mm-hmm. You know, you think of, you've got two different people, and one of them loves it when somebody calls them because they basically unload on somebody and they're not really going to the Lord in prayer and so forth. So, you say, okay, well, what I do for someone when I love them is call them up and ask them how they're doing. That's just an example. Well, this person, you know, you're not helping them as much, where then you've got the other person that tends to be a hermit, and they need to learn how to be involved in other people's lives, and so they need you to call and say, hey, how are you doing? And
not let them be a hermit because they can be their own worst enemy. So I think of how different people can have different needs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, that's why I think you can't do the same thing for everyone, and being discerning and getting to know people can be part of the challenge. But anyway, yeah.
Chris, you want to close this in prayer?
Be glad to. Lord, thank you for the freedom we have to just even sit here and read the wonderful passages that your disciple John wrote for us to ponder about your tremendous love for us and how that is manifested in our love for one another. I just thank you that you loved us first and gave us the perfect example of how we are to be to one another. I pray that we will understand that the lesson is not just about loving one another, but loving you first and going to your word, and then we will be able to discern the needs of others and how we can love one another. I thank you how you can soften our hearts when we want to be mad or bitter, and I just thank you for your tremendous patience with us and forgiveness. Thank you for your example of love, and I thank you for how much you loved us, that you died on the cross for my sin. Be with us the rest of the evening. Help our fellowship to be sweet and encouraging and loving to one another. In your precious name, amen.